Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
It's Mr. FSP along with JT, ATM Money. Doing what we do because we do it for you. We've got a lot on tap today. Breaking news as far as Kansas City and the White Sox. If you recall, the brawl that happened on Thursday. Six players are suspended and fined in the Royals White Sox brawl. Four were the Royals. Two White Sox players. Now, there's a lot going into it. Are the Royals the bad boys of baseball? We're going to discuss that. They play defense, and they hit the ball. So we'll talk about that. But on today's episode with me and JT, we're going to discuss the upcoming NFL draft and who will go where. We did it last week, but this time we're going to get a separate perspective. I'm going with Brad Briggs of the Chicago Times-Tribune. We're going to discuss where he thinks players are going to land, and give our viewpoints on it. He just released it about 9 hours ago, so this morning we're going to talk about that. Also, whose stock has risen and fallen? Has Shane Ray's stock fallen now that it's seen that he's going to need foot surgery? The last pass rusher out of a big conference, meaning the SEC, and supposed to be pretty daggone good, was Jadeveon Clowney, Jerry's best friend. And so far, Jadeveon has not produced anything. In fact, Jadeveon's own teammates have called him out. And hopefully he'll respond this year. But is a player like Shane Ray going to fall under that same microscope? Was going to be a top draft pick. Maybe not so now. We'll discuss it. We're going to debate, of course, Jerry and I, since UFC 186 is going to happen tonight. I know Jerry doesn't want to talk about MMA, but we're going to debate the Floyd Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. Oh, you booing Floyd Mayweather? Yay, that's good.
No, I'm booing UFC, MMA, whatever.
You booed Floyd Mayweather-Pacquiao. That's what you did. So we're going to discuss that. Of course, Jerry's going to take the side of Floyd. I'll take the side of Manny. We're going to have a quick debate
Damn
on
right.
that.
TMT.
And, huh?
TMT.
Okay.
TMT.
I know. Team Money.
The Money Team. TMT.
Whatever. All right, 50 Cent, you going to post some pictures on Twitter, too? All right. Also, last week, Jerry made some bold predictions on the air about his fantasy baseball team. He did. He made some statements.
Yes, I did.
And we're going to see if Jerry is going to have to eat those words, or was Vic right? I'll let Jerry talk about that. That also, let's talk about these NBA playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. A spectacular game with the Golden State Warriors and New Orleans Pelicans, ending with the Warriors winning the game. But we've got some series that look like they might be sweeps. Just might be sweeps. And the only big series, or not so big series, that looks like is very competitive is the Spurs and Clippers. But Spurs came out the other night and played like the Spurs of old. Are they making a run at repeating as champions? Or will the Warriors, who look like they just can't lose, given the circumstances, will they come out as the Western Division champion and represent the West in the NBA Finals? That and a whole lot more on today's episode. I see I got the old man riled up, so we're going to jump into it. We're going to do football right after we do this boxing business, because it ain't really that important. But, you know, hey, somebody wants to talk about it, so let's talk about it. Mr. Taylor.
Hey, you're the one to bring it up. It doesn't necessarily mean that I want to talk about it, but you're the one that's bringing it up. And also, when we talk about the baseball, I have an on-air trade proposal to propose to you to see if you go for it or not, and then we'll go from there. But you want to talk about boxing? Let's do it.
So we'll do boxing, then we'll go to baseball, because, of course, who's
sure, no problem.
The leader in the division?
I am. Trust me. You look at the standings. You keep on saying that, and you look at the standings. I am on top. You are looking up, plain and simple.
Whatever. We know the truth. All right, so let's talk about
the truth is in black and white. Go to the website. I don't make things up.
I'm going to the website. However, I want to talk about this baseball thing. I mean, this boxing thing. You know, this match.
You really want to get your butt handed to you with this. Go ahead. Talk about it.
This boxing match is supposed to be the fight of the century, and we're 15 years into the century. Excuse me?
Got you all mixed up, but that's okay.
So, you know, Mr. Taylor, we're looking at this, and we're saying, okay,
mm-hmm.
It's been a while. Apparently, according to the, the show that comes on HBO with Mayweather and Pacquiao 24/7. This week they
mm-hmm.
played the piece about how the fight actually took shape, how it was already in the works in November. By way of a waiter at a restaurant. They're
okay.
Playing Roach tennis. Now, the waiter happened to know Roach as well as the Showtime promoter or Showtime executive, which is because Showtime is who, not Showtime, HBO, because Pacquiao has a contract with Showtime and Floyd has a contract with HBO, so whatever. The
mm-hmm.
waiter knew them and brought them together at a restaurant. So Bob Arum, Freddie Roach, and the other promoter, I believe it's somebody from Floyd's camp or Showtime or HBO, sat down, had a meal, because Bob Arum had some issues with the other guy in the past and da-da-da-da-da, and they left out buddy-buddy. Well, there were issues coming up and happening, but that was the impetus of the beginning of the fight. So then it became the issue of who's going to come out first, who's going to be billed as the headliner, so as Pacquiao, Mayweather, Pacquiao, so on and so forth. Well, Bob Arum says he didn't care about all that, but CBS, who owns Showtime, and HBO, they cared because they want to know the cross-promotion, who's going to be promoting it, and all this other mess. So anyway, things come to an impasse, and until the chance, and I really believe it was a chance situation now that I see what happened. The chance situation of Pacquiao and Mayweather seeing each other at the Heat game, is really what started this whole let's get it done business. Reportedly, Pacquiao was in Miami to judge a Miss America contest. Just so happens, he was supposed to leave that night, but his flight got canceled and delayed, so he had to wait an extra day in Miami. So he decides to go to the Heat game. Lo and behold, on the other side of the court, Floyd Mayweather. They meet, they shake, they talk hands, they exchange phone numbers at halftime. Well, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Floyd calls up and asks, can they have a meeting? They have a meeting at Pacquiao's hotel room, and they both agree that this is what needs to be done, and, you know, nobody's going to hate the other person, and stock this other stuff. And Pacquiao signs the contract. Floyd doesn't. Floyd takes it and stews on it a little bit until February, where Floyd posts the picture on Twitter showing that he signed the contract. And the promotion begins. Jerry Taylor, your thoughts on that whole scenario and how your man Money got everything he wanted. And in the piece, Pacquiao jokingly said, it's just like giving a man on death row everything he wants before you kill him. You know, you give the man a meal, you give him what he wants in the meal. Well, Pac-Man gave him the 60% of the gate. He's taking 40. Pac-Man's giving him the blood test that Floyd wanted. So Floyd's getting everything he wants before the massacre begins. Now, Pac said it was a joke, but I think he's very serious about this training. Your thoughts, Mr. Taylor?
This is what do you want me to say? This is could have taken place years ago when Floyd proposed all this before. Floyd doesn't need this fight. Manny Pacquiao does. So who succumbed to who? I don't know what kind of point you're trying to make, but it's obvious that Manny Pacquiao decided to do everything Floyd wanted him to do years ago. Now he decides to do it because he knows Floyd's on his way out, meaning not skill-wise, but career-wise. He's on his way out. He's only got a couple fights left. And in order to get a big payday that Pacquiao's looking for, another big payday, he knows he has to agree to the terms that Floyd had wanted him to agree with years ago. So I don't know what point you're trying to make with this, but it's obvious Floyd Mayweather got Pacquiao to do what he wanted him to do. It's just a delayed reaction. So this is just a delayed reaction. I don't know what you're going to be to say. Everything that Floyd wanted, he wanted that years ago. Now he's got it. So what's your point?
The point is, when you have a player in the boxing business, you know, demanding this, demanding that, saying if you don't give me this, we're not going to fight, knowing that, you know, it's absurd what you're asking. Because at the time,
no, it's not. No, it's not. Because at the time, at the time, I'm sorry.
At the time,
go ahead.
Both men were the hottest things in boxing, and then of course Marquez knocks out Pac, and he loses to Bradley and all this other mess. But at the time, they were the two hottest things in boxing. So there was equal footing because both of them could draw. Now, Pac-Man gave in because he got tired of waiting. I can't say why he decided to give him everything he wanted other than the joke that Pac-Man said. You, like, give a man all the stuff he wants because he's on death row. That's kind of similar to, you know, saying, well, I'm going to make sure that if I'm going to give up all this stuff, I'm going to make sure that I fight my butt off to win. Because, you know, if I'm going to make all these sacrifices to get the fight, then I might as well... do what I need to do. Go ahead. You're breaking. You sound very robotic. You sound very robotic. I don't know if it's your phone or what it is, but you sound very robotic.
He better. That's all I got to say. He better. If he doesn't, he's going to get his butt whipped more than if he didn't train. He's going to get his butt whipped more. What?
Jerry?
You hear me?
I don't know.
I'm here. You hear me?
I don't know if you have one of those little things on your throat when you have a hole in your throat, but that's what it sounds like, that you have a hole in your throat and you're speaking through one of those devices. I don't know if it's your earpiece, your phone, or your mic, but that's what it sounds like. Just want to let you know that.
How about now? Does it still sound good?
It sounds robotic, just like, you know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, sounds all robotic and not right.
Let me see if I can get this out. What I'm saying is this, that there was word back when Floyd asked Pacquiao if he wanted to fight him to take a blood test, that Pacquiao was doing something illegal. That was the word out at the time. So Floyd wanted to ensure that he was clean coming into the fight. Plus the fact Floyd Mayweather was undefeated at the time and was a bigger ball than Manny Pacquiao. So if Manny Pacquiao wanted to fight for now, he's a bigger draw than Manny Pacquiao. He had to agree to terms that Floyd had put forth. He didn't want to do it. I'll repeat it again. He didn't want to do it years back, and the fight never took place. Now, for whatever godly reason, and I kind of spelled it out why the reason was that is he wanted to fight Floyd. It's because
Jerry, I need you to try to change your mic or whatever, but you sound awful. I understood some of what you said, but a lot of it was seriously as if you were speaking through some type of mechanism.
Okay, let me hang up and try it again. I'll call you back. Have that.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, per usual, Manny Pacquiao's running mate here is not doing too well. Well, not Manny Pacquiao. I apologize. I should say Floyd Mayweather's running buddy, you know, because that's who Jerry is. Jerry, that guy that's going to support him. Yeah, that guy. I'm not mad at him. Not whatsoever. Not whatsoever. But I will say that Pac is better and ready to light a fire under Mayweather in this fight. I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, and people say this is conspiracy theorists or whatever, but Floyd has one more fight on that contract. I would not be surprised if Pac knocks Floyd out to set up an even bigger fight at a bigger venue, meaning AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, by the end of the year. I would not be surprised. Or if he doesn't knock him out, he gets the victory, whether it's split, whether it's unanimous, whatever, or a tie. Let me repeat that. Based upon the contract and all the stuff going on, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe Pac-Man's going to win this fight one way or another, setting up a you know, rubber match or a rematch between Pac and Floyd later on this summer or in the fall. Floyd is a businessman. Lately, his father made criticisms of Ariza, who is the conditioning coach for Floyd, who, by the way, was the conditioning coach for Pac-Man. I don't know if Floyd is listening or taking direction or whatever it is from these people that are in his corner to give him great sound advice. But I truly believe that he will not win this matchup or this fight against Pacquiao, setting up a bigger payday at a bigger venue later this year. And we'll try to bring Jerry back in and get his final thoughts, because we heard some of it, but might have him restate them just briefly before we go to break, because I don't know how many people heard him or understood him. But JT, real quick, I hope you got your situation taken care of. Give us your reason as to why you think Pac-Man is going to lose this fight.
Well, I think Pac-Man, do I better now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I'm saying. The reason why Floyd wanted all those parameters years back is because there was word on the street that Manny Pacquiao was doing something, or taking something illegally. So Floyd wanted to, and there was, I think if at the time there was a lot of doping or not doping, but testing, positive testing that was coming up in boxers. So Floyd, with all that that he heard about, maybe Pacquiao was taking something, wanted to make sure that he was clean, that he was going in there with not an advantage. Plus the fact is he was a bigger than Manny Pacquiao. So quite naturally, if you're the bigger draw, then you should take the majority share of the purse. It's ironic, and I keep on saying this, and I think you just fall on deaf ears because of the dislike for Floyd, and that Floyd Mayweather didn't change any parameters from the years back when he when Manny wanted to fight him than he did now. And it's ironic that Manny Pacquiao decides to agree to the terms when he could have done it when both of them, especially Manny Pacquiao, were younger and better fighters than they are today. So I don't know what kind of point you're trying to make, but Floyd Mayweather has been consistent in what he wanted from Pacquiao in order for him to fight, order for them to both fight. I don't know what you want. I mean, he's been consistent. He hasn't changed anything at all since the time he was approached years back. The only problem they have was besides Pacquiao not wanting to do those things. And Bob Arum, and because of this for Bob Arum, because Bob Arum is very meddlesome, very controlling, and wants to be controlled, and he wasn't having it, especially with the bigger draw.
Listen, I mean, I understand what you're saying. However, I disagree on the fact that if Pacquiao does not give in to the demands, the fight never happens. That means he was willing to humble himself and say, look, fine, you know what? I just want to fight you. I'm not worried about how much money, you know, I'm going to get out of it versus how much money you're going to get out of it. I'm not worried about who's going to run, who's going to come to the ring first.
Bull.
I'm not worried about
these are boxers. It's all about the money.
But Pacquiao says, and he's the one that said, you know, I just want to fight you. That's not what Floyd did. Floyd said, if you want to fight me, you will do this. And that
right.
is the sign That is a sign of, okay, well, I'm superior than you. I'm better than
stop.
You.
Victor,
you want
stop.
Me?
He is.
No.
He
no,
is.
No, listen. I wholeheartedly disagree until they fight. I will disagree
okay.
until they fight and see for myself. But Pacquiao is the one who wanted to fight. Floyd got it. It's a business. It's a business. Got it. And your body is your organization, and you and your skills
are your
workers.
You are so full of it.
But it shows.
You are so full.
It shows that one person was willing to give in to another's demand because
you are so full of it.
He wanted to fight him, not because it was. Oh well, you know what? I'm no longer on the juice that people claimed I was on, which, by the way, never proven that he was. So in my eyes, he never was juicing or anything like that. I'm willing to take less of the purse because I'm going to beat you. And in the rematch, I'm the one that's going to have the titles. I'm the one that's going to be the one making the demands for the bigger amount of money because you would have lost to me. I get it.
Let me ask you something quick. Let me ask you something, Vic.
For the benefits and the
let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. What did I say Floyd is? What did I say?
A loser?
I said the money team, right? No, no.
You said a loser.
I said the money team. Wait a minute. Listen, listen to me. Money team. I said the money team, okay? So anytime Floyd can get a payday, he's going to go for it. He's not afraid to fight anybody. So what you're saying that he was afraid to fight Pacquiao, so he put
nope,
these.
Nope, nope, nope.
Wait a minute. Well, he was putting these parameters in front of Pacquiao to put off him fighting Pacquiao when Pacquiao he would be up for a huge payday just like now. So what the premise that you're trying to present is totally wrong because Floyd is about making the money, getting the biggest box office draw to fight him. To make the most amount, to maximize the most amount of money that can he make for each bout. So it wasn't just about the money. It was about Floyd having to have Pacquiao come in there as a clean fighter for one. If he's so wait a minute, just listen to me. If he's so clean, why won't he submit to a blood test for one? Floyd would do it. He had no problem doing it. So if he's so clean and you really wanted to fight Floyd Mayweather years back, submit to the blood test. What's the big deal? It's only a blood test. It's no big deal. It's a blood test. And get past that hurdle, and then we can talk about the other things that we wanted to do to get this fight done. He didn't want to do a simple blood test.
Jerry,
he didn't want to take the – wait a minute. Your premise was that he really wanted – it wasn't about the money. He really wanted to fight Floyd. So if he really wanted to fight Floyd, he would take the lesser of the purse and – submit to a simple blood test. You take a little bit of blood, you test it. That's it. It's not a big deal. So what you're saying is totally bogus. It's
bogus. What you're saying is bogus because it was never proven and never has been proven that Manny Pacquiao was using anything. However, you assume
regardless
that that's the case.
Regardless,
no. You're drinking the Mayweather Kool-Aid.
Regardless, take a blood test. Floyd was willing to take a blood test. He wasn't going to ask Pacquiao to take a blood test and him not submit to a blood test. So
that's,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Floyd came up with all these demands at the height of their careers, before the Bradley fight, before the Marquez knockout, both men were huge draws in their own. Yes, Floyd was beating people left and right, but it wasn't the people that the fans wanted to see until he finally said,
oh,
okay, you know
get
what?
Get out of here. Stop.
Until he listened to the fans.
Stop.
And for,
you know,
and
Victor,
fought
Victor,
Canelo.
Victor.
Because that
Victor,
was a fight.
Victor.
That was a fight.
Victor,
I'm
going to be the bigger man here, Victor. I'm going to be the bigger man here, Victor. I think we can agree to disagree because you're making up every single excuse for Pacquiao, and it's plain and simple what the deal is.
And you're not for Mayweather.
No.
Oh absolutely. My God!
Listen to me, and understand something here. Manny Pacquiao needs Floyd. Floyd doesn't need Manny Pacquiao. That's the bottom line. Floyd doesn't need Manny Pacquiao.
No.
Floyd's undefeated. Wait a minute. Floyd's the undefeated champion, and he has two fights left. It's not like he's going to duck out after he fights Pacquiao. He stated years ago, I'm only fighting a certain amount of fights, and I'm out. Pacquiao realizes this. He only has two fights, this one and the last one Floyd's going to fight, to get a bout with Floyd. So that's why, and it's obvious, that's why he decided to do this, because he knows his payday with Floyd, his big payday with Floyd, the window is closing. And he doesn't want the window to close without getting that big payday. I can't believe that Wait a minute, let me finish and I won't interrupt. Plus the fact is this. When Floyd Mayweather, and I truly believe that he's going to beat Manny Pacquiao. When Mayweather beats Manny Pacquiao in whatever fashion he beats him and wins the bout, don't come back here and give me a whole bunch of excuses why Manny Pacquiao could have won the fight, or Floyd Mayweather did this and that, or they cheated him. Because the fact is, now you got the fight, now you're going to give excuses. I, you know what?
So,
if he beats, I'm going to say he's the better man. There's no excuse.
You're not.
Boy, talk all this
shit.
No,
Terry, no,
you're
not.
No, oh my God. When have you ever seen me when I'm wrong
about
a matchup, whether it's what's on football, basketball, baseball, or whatever? I always say you beat me fair and square. I got beat, or the guy got beat fair and square. I'm not going to give him a bunch of excuses. It is what it is. It is what it is. So I'm laying this down. This is April 25th. I'm saying whoever wins this fight a week from today, don't come out with any excuses. Me, I'm not coming out with any excuses, and don't you come out with any excuses either.
Jerry, I will caveat that with this, because we're going to move on. If Floyd beats Pacquiao, and he beats him convincingly, meaning there is no
not convincing, just beat him. He has to beat him.
No. Listen what I'm saying. If there is no controversy, like the first Madonna fight, where Floyd should have lost or at least been a draw, then, you know, if he comes out like he did in the second Madonna fight and dismantles Pacquiao, there is no, you know, well, the judges got it wrong. There is no ability for anyone to doubt what he did, fine. But if there's some controversy or if there's a situation where it's like, okay, well, you know, some people saw it this way, some people saw it that way, or, you know, this round should have gone to Floyd, or this round should have gone to Pacquiao, but it didn't,
for whatever reason. That's subjective.
That's subjective.
Yeah, that's objective.
If Floyd is that much, you can see what the judges say, but
your opinion is different than what the judges say, then you're gonna cry about that.
No, listen. If Floyd, based on what you're saying, Floyd is the much better fighter, Floyd is the way better fighter, there will be no type of situation like that. That's what I'm getting to. If Floyd is that much better, like you said, if Floyd is that much better than Pacquiao, then it shouldn't be a contest as to whether or not Floyd became.
Now you're backing up.
This is why I'm saying
you're backing up. If you had listened to what I said when Floyd beats him, in whatever way beats him, and it could be a close fight, there's nothing to say that it won't be a close fight. And that round by round can be subjective, especially in judging, it can be subjective. So you may not agree with several rounds or one or two rounds, and I may disagree with the judging in whatever round. But if whatever is the result, whether it's TKO, whether it's a KO, whether it's by the split decision or unanimous decision, if Floyd comes out on top, I don't want to hear saying, "Oh, what shoulda?" It's plain and simple. Wait a minute.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. If you're the champ, you got to beat the champ conventionally to take it from him. Plain and simple.
Listen. I'll do you like this. If it's a split, then no, I can't agree to what you're saying. Because a split means
you're
picking
out. Come on, stop.
However, you can't give in to that. If Floyd wins by unanimous decision, or by knockout, then okay.
Because all conditions you want to agree to that you accept Floyd winning. If it's a split decision, you don't agree to that because Floyd didn't beat him by unanimous. Come on.
No. Listen, what I'm saying is, based upon our conversations, you believe Floyd is that much more a better fighter
than... I said he's going to beat him today.
However, in the past, you claimed that Pacquiao is not anywhere in Mayweather's class. Those are your words, mine.
You're absolutely right. There's nothing to say when they get into the ring that it could be a close fight. There's nothing to say. Now, in my opinion, Floyd is the most superior boxer in here, okay? There's no doubt in my mind here. But there's nothing to say when they get in the ring that it'll be a fight than most people think. There's nothing to say that. We don't know. I don't have that ability to see into the future. So what I'm saying is this. When the bottom line come the last round, come when the final buzzer or bell rings in the last round, I think Floyd come out on top. Plain and simple, whether it's all four of those scenarios, whether it's a technical knockout, a split decision, or unanimous decision.
Again,
it is what it is.
All I can say is that I believe Pacquiao is going to win this fight. I do not believe Floyd is going to win this fight. However, if it's a good fight, I have no complaints. But if it's one of those fights where it's clear that Pac-Man should have gotten the victory and does not, then we're going to have a continued debate. But if Floyd comes out and he dominates and wins this fight, if he wins 7-3, I think it's a 10-round fight, 12-round fight, something like that. You were in 7-5. I can live with that. I'll eat my words. But if it's like down the middle and the fight can go either way, I'm not going to say Floyd should have won or deserved the win. I'm going to say, well, you know what? That fight was a heck of a fight. In my opinion, Pacquiao one or whatever. I'm not saying it's
going to be. Here's the difference between me and you, Victor.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the difference between me and you. You are the type of person, now, you believe Pacquiao is going to win. So if it's a close fight and Floyd comes out on top, you're the type of person that says Pacquiao got robbed. Or if it's a split decision, Pacquiao got robbed. You feel Pacquiao did the best, and that he should have got the decision. And I'm telling you the same thing over and over again, and you're not listening because it happens to be Floyd Mayweather. He happens to be the undefeated champion. When you're fighting a champion, plain and simple, when you're fighting a champion, you have to beat the champion. You got it from him. If it's close, I hate to tell you, but tie goes to the runner. Tie goes to the champion, and that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Now, I don't know what part of that you don't understand, but that's part of boxing. If you're the champion, you have to take it from the champion and be convincing about it. If it's close, it's going to go to the champ. I'm telling you that right now. If it's close, it's going to the champ.
Listen, I enjoy what you're saying. You are a very knowledgeable older person. I'm not mad at you. Not mad at you at all. I do believe that you are drinking the Kool-Aid, which is fine. Everybody drinks the Kool-Aid now and again.
I don't have to drink the Kool-Aid.
But I will say that if Pacquiao wins this fight, you, my friend, are going to come in. I mean, if it's by decision or if it's by split, you're going to be like, yeah, there's no way he should have won that fight. It was a close fight, but he's a champ. In order to beat the champ, you got to knock him out. Because that's what you do. That's what you do. And I'm okay with that, Jerry. I'm okay with that. So, you know, it goes on both sides of the coin. I know how you're going to react. Why I'm saying.
I promise you.
Yes. Okay. Just like you promised me
Pacquiao wins the fight, I'm saying the big man won. That's all I'm going to say. The big man won. I'm not going to go crying. And say coulda, woulda, shoulda. I'm going to say the better man won. But I think the band's going to be TMT, the money team. So employee Mayweather is the CEO and head honcho of that money team. It's going to win it. So we can go on like this for the rest of the show if you want to, but we can agree to disagree. We won't convince one another to go come to the other side. That's not happening. You know that.
Yeah, about that. Your innuendo and false allegations of Pac-Man doping and stuff.
All I got to say is if nothing ties, give me your blood.
Sad how Mr. Taylor has gone down to the waysides of America. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We're going to let Jerry calm his blood pressure. Man, I think his blood pressure medication.
Going. It's okay.
As usual. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss NBA playoffs and baseball. And then we're going to jump right into football. So you say with me, it's your boy, FSP, along with JT18 Money right here on Night Sports Politics Saturday edition. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan. Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24-7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It's me, Mr. FSP, along with JKT Money, doing what we do because we do it for you all day, every day, right here on Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition. If you missed it, we had a very spirited debate over Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. Of course, I'm on Pac's side. Jerry is on Floyd's side, which is fine. Nothing new there. Allegations were hurled at Pac-Man by Jerry Taylor on behalf of Floyd. Of course, Floyd doesn't know it, but his jockstrap is on the air doing what he does. But I have to attack Jerry sometimes. If not, I can't keep his spirits up and keep him live and going. So, with that being said, check out that.
You're not going to get me started again.
Yes, I am. With that being said, we're going to jump into these NBA playoffs. We did a great job of breaking down, you know, the different teams, or I did it because Jerry doesn't, as he says, follow basketball. But right now, let's go over these matchups where it looks like there are going to be sweeps in all but one, in my opinion. Let's start over in the West, where Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors are leading 3-0 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, in their last game, the Pelicans were up by 20 points with 7 minutes left in the game. Ended up losing in overtime to Golden State. Now, the NBA came out and said that there was a mistake made. That last-second shot, three-pointer that Steph Curry made, should have been an opportunity for a four-point play, and it shouldn't have gone to overtime. I was saying the same
Absolutely.
Thing to my wife. When it I was saying the same thing to my wife when it happened. But you know, the Golden State Warriors ended up winning anyway. JT, are the Golden State Warriors a team of destiny?
It's tough for me to say that because they're playing in the West, and the West teams are so competitive. You know, it's a young team. It's a much better team than last year, even though basically the parts are still there that were there last year. Different coach. I don't know if that makes a difference between Mark Jackson or Steve Kerr, but it's a different team. Quite naturally, they have the best record in basketball. I don't know. If you look at the teams that won recently in the championship, they have been experienced teams, veteran teams. This is a very young team. I have to see more. I think this is a no-brainer that they're going to get past the Pelicans. And no team that's going up 3-0 has lost a series. So it's inevitable that anybody who's either in the West or East 3-0, they're going to the next round. So the next round, quite naturally, is going to be tougher. I'm not exactly sure who they're going to play yet. The jury's still out. A lot will be said when they get to the next round and how they handle that. But for now, they look like the team, but I have to see more. They have to put more on the table for me to say that they're the team of the destiny.
Well, let's go down to another matchup that I mentioned at the top of the show, where we have the Los Angeles Clippers, the number three seed in the West, taking on the number 6 seed, the defending champions, San Antonio Spurs, where the Spurs are up 2-1. And in the last game, the Spurs looked like they were, you know, the champions from last year, like they kept playing. Kawhi Leonard, this year's Defensive Player of the Year, stepped up and was more offensive than defensive and led the team with Tim Duncan and the rest of those guys. Is it that Doc Rivers has got a flat team right now in L.A., or are the Spurs turning it on at the right time?
It's obvious the Spurs are turning it on at the right time. Greg Popovich and the dynamic trio of Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker have been down this road before. They're probably one of the best six seeds in the last 5 years, let me put it that way. So, and they're the former champs. They know what they need to do to get the job done, to get a win, coaching-wise and players on the court-wise. The Clippers are still trying to learn that. And even though they do have Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and company and DeAndre Jordan, they're still learning how to do that. So I like the six seed. And if the six seed happens to play the one seed, I think that's how it runs, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the Spurs, if they win, they'll take on either Houston or Dallas. Looks like it's going to be Houston, but we haven't gotten there yet. The Spurs
go into the
finals of the West if that were to happen.
Okay. Well, like I said, it gets tougher in the second round versus the first round. And most of these teams, except for one, are up 3-0. So I have to see how it shakes out in the second round. But this Spurs-Clippers, they can go either way. These games have been relatively close games. And I think the experience of the Spurs is going to get the best of the youth of the Clippers.
Okay. Let's talk about another matchup, which is the number 4 and 5 seeds in the West, Portland and Memphis. Now, typically 4-5 is a pretty even matchup, but Memphis is leading with a 2-0 series lead right now. Portland does not look like Portland of the regular season. I don't know what's going on with Aldridge and Lillard and all, but they're not looking the same. What's going on in that series, Jerry?
Well, they lost, and I forget their player that went down with an Achilles injury, but they lost one of their main players, which hurts them. And the unfortunate task of going up against the best, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, in Memphis, with those two deadly combinations of and Memphis playing well in Portland, trying to find their way, and a young team. Versus Memphis, who's a more experienced team, it's a bad combination. That's why I think Memphis, quite naturally, is going to move on to the next round.
Well, let's go on to this Dallas or this Texas matchup, I should say, where you have the Mavericks down 0-3 to the Houston Rockets with one of the MVP candidates, talking about James Harden, leading the way for the Houston Rockets. What's going on in that, where Houston is one game away from closing it out, 3-0?
Better team. Better skill level. Dallas is not a very good defensive team, and Houston has too many options to go to. I think Dallas now they got rid of their cancer, in Rajon Rondo, but I think they're a dysfunctional team. I think their time has passed, and that the talent level of Houston is just too much that they can't overcome.
Houston lacks that killer instinct. I really think so. So they might get past Dallas, but I see them losing to another in-state rivalry if San Antonio gets past the Clippers. I would love to see the Clippers versus Houston. That would be just an up-and-down matchup, but I don't think it's going to happen. Let's go on over to the Eastern Conference, where we have the number one seed, Atlanta Hawks, up 2-0 versus Brooklyn. Now, Brooklyn, surprisingly, they're not laying down. They're not, you know, winning the series or winning games, but they're giving it a very good go. What do you see going on in this matchup?
I see this. Deron Williams, I think he's the ninth highest paid player in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. Not worth it. I see Brook Lopez, who is a very good offensive player, and just that, a very good offensive player, doesn't rebound, doesn't even put the effort to rebound, and defensive-wise, he's a liability. Very soft team. Paul Pierce was right on track when he talked about the Brooklyn Nets and their whole mindset and their heart. I know they're playing the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks have transformed themselves into a better team with a lot more heart than they used to be in the past. I can see that the next game in Brooklyn, it's probably going to be another close game, even the fact that the Brooklyn may win it. But in the bottom line, Brooklyn goes home, and Brook Lopez is a free agent. Bye-bye. See you later. Brook Lopez will get somebody else because you don't play any defense and you don't rebound. All you want to do is shoot the ball. Get somebody else in there at the center position or the forward position that will do a better job and give a better all-around game than Brook Lopez. Very dysfunctional team. You never know what you're going to get with the Brooklyn Nets, and that's the problem, whether they want to play tonight or wait until the next night to play or when their back's up against the wall. I never liked the Brooklyn Nets, especially when they got Deron Williams. Coach killer. Anytime that a team has Deron Williams on there, and any time that Jerry Sloan, because of Deron Williams, decides to quit, there's a problem. Jerry Sloan's a pretty tough coach, pretty tough player at the time. Takes a lot and deals with a lot. If he can't deal with a player on his team, there's got to be something wrong with that player. So, and he goes to Brooklyn. I just don't like the makeup of Brooklyn. Plain and simple. The bottom line is I don't like the makeup of Brooklyn. I think they're going to go down, hopefully in four, to get them out of the series because they're not the team that they should be in the series, but they are.
Okay. Next up on my list is, in my opinion, probably the second best series going on right now, which is Toronto Raptors and the Washington Wizards, with the Wizards winning or leading the series 3-0. On the strength of an old grizzled veteran, I'm talking about Paul Pierce. Your thoughts on that series? And based upon their matchups, well, let me see what you think is going to happen in this matchup first. But go ahead.
I love this matchup. And Paul Pierce happens to be one of my favorite players. Heart like a lion, man. This guy has ice water in his veins when it comes crunch time. I watched the highlights yesterday of the closing minutes or minute or whatever it was of that game against the Toronto Raptors. And talking about clutch, two clutch three-pointers in the closing within the closing minute and less to seal that victory for the Wizards. Showing them young guys, John Wall and company, how to win and what you need to do to win a playoff basketball game. I like the Wizards. They can be a scary bunch because they're only getting better as each playoff game goes by. There are three teams or four teams that it's going to be very interesting in the matchups and how they progress in the East. Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, and the Wizards. In my opinion, any one of those four teams can go to the championship.
Well, that's what it looks like is going to take place, and here's my question. let's say Atlanta advances and the Wizards advance, who wins that series? Even though I know Atlanta's been good all year, but who wins the series?
Man, I tell you, this I would sit down and watch each and every game because I think these two teams just about mirror each other. It would probably go down to a 7-game series. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't. I mean, if it did. And Atlanta, quite naturally, because it would be the number one seed in the East, would have the home court advantage. But in my opinion, it's a toss-up because you have the grizzled veteran in Paul Pierce. When you need a bucket, when you need a clutch play on the offensive side of the ball especially, Paul Pierce is the one that you want. And he coined a phrase earlier in the season when he first got there, and he said it last night. That's why you brought me here. He does what he does when you need him to do it in the crunch.
I would love to see that series as well, and I think the Wizards would then go on to the Eastern Conference Finals, to be quite honest. The sizzle in Atlanta is still hot, but for whatever reason, they're not that good. They're letting a team such as the Brooklyn Nets stay in games, and that's not good. I think the Wizards turned it on at the beginning of the season. They fizzled off towards the end, but now they're turning it back on in the playoffs. Real quick, go ahead.
Well, you got to understand something. Brooklyn is a very talented team. Regardless of what I said about them, they're a very good, talented team. But it's when they want to play. That's the problem. It's when they want to play and what kind of heart they have when they play in a game that means something. That's what Paul Pierce was saying. These guys are a good bunch, but they have their heart is questionable, and they are very inconsistent in playing. Sometimes they want to play, sometimes they don't. And they got to get pushed. That's what I'm talking about. They're a very talented team when they want to play. It's just that when do they want to play? That's the question.
Okay, let's move on to two series that are pretty big, even though they're both leading 3-0, because the second round matchup could determine, honestly, who goes to the NBA Finals for the Eastern Division. We're talking about Milwaukee and Chicago, Cleveland and Boston. Now, both Chicago and Cleveland are up 3-0. Milwaukee surprised me by not giving that much of a fight. Real quick, Jerry, break those two matchups down because they might end today or tomorrow, I believe they play. Real quick, your thoughts.
Chicago plays Milwaukee tonight at 5:30. Chicago, Derrick Rose is getting healthier. He played 48 minutes last game. All I can say is Derrick Rose gets better. Milwaukee's in trouble. Chicago wins that and moves on. And game, set, match, Cleveland against who's Cleveland playing? That's my point. Who's Cleveland playing? Okay. I know who they're playing. That's my point.
They're
moving on.
All right. Who wins between Chicago and Cleveland?
Well, I mean, the consensus because of the trio of Love, Irving, and James, it would be Cleveland. But you got a Derrick Rose that is playing fearless now. Looks like he's got his confidence back in his body. Wow. And Chicago, they're a very tough defensive team. Wow. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think there's an upset brewing if Chicago plays Cleveland, I think there's an upset brewing. I like Chicago.
Really? Even with Cleveland having the home court advantage?
I like Chicago. Yes.
Magic Man 1956, right?
What are you talking about?
Your Twitter handle.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Magic Man 19. Magic Man 1954.
Well, 1954. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to tweet out what Magic Man 1954 has to say. He says, Chicago, if I can spell it right, Chicago faces.
You know how to spell Chicago, man?
Shut up.
You don't know how to spell
Wizards.
Chicago? Chicago.
Be quiet. Finals. You're a dirtbag. I still love you, though.
Well, why do you have to call me? See, do I call you names, Victor? I call you who you are.
Yes.
I either call you Vic or Victor. Sometimes I call you Victoria, but sometimes sometimes I call you Victoria, but I've never called you any derogatory name like punk or dirtbag or anything like that. I've never called you that.
But is Victoria flattering for a male? No, I.
But it's not. It's not like a dirtbag. It's not like a punk. It's not like some other words that you called me. I don't call you those things.
I know you don't. I still love you. But it's like you're calling me Bruce Jenner or Brenda Jenner, whatever you want to change.
Wait a minute. Whatever. It is what it is. Everybody, let me put it this way. And there's so many judgmental people in this world on both sides of the aisle and in many different races. The only
Absolutely.
Person you have to answer to is the man upstairs, okay? As long as you're not hurting anyone in what you're doing, and I mean physically hurting them or verbally abusing somebody, if you're just trying to live your life regardless of whatever life that is, and it's really not hurting anybody, and then you live your life. It is what it is. If right or wrong, the only person you have to answer to is the man upstairs. That's it. That's it.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So you got to answer me sometimes because I'm the better of the two. But, ladies and gentlemen, what JT just said is absolutely true, and what I'm going to bring to you right now is what we came here for. We came here to talk some football. So when we talk football, we play a little sound bite. It goes like this.
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to bring to you right now is the NFL draft. According to Brad Briggs, Chicago Times Tribune. Now, we also have an announcement to make. Next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and maybe even Sunday, JT ATM Money will be doing complete coverage, and I'll jump in there from time to time, too, of the NFL draft right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. And we're going to transfer to our 24-hour, 365 streaming radio station, spotonradio.webs.com. I'm tempted just to send you there. But once it gets off the air here, he's going to probably jump over to Spot On if the draft isn't over by the time Thursday's broadcast is done and go live then. But on Friday, yes, go to Spot. Well, Jerry, you let the people know. If you're going to be here at Blog Talk, then go to Spot On, you're going to be on Spot On. You let the people know what you're going to do.
Well, I'm going to be on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to be on here for 3 hours. So if you want to jump on and talk to me, jump on and talk to me within a three-hour time frame. If we go past the 3 hours, you won't be able to call and talk to me. You'll just be getting my analysis on the picks past that. But we're going to be on 3 hours. Reason being, I think Victor, I'm not going to go into reason being, but 3 hours on Thursday, 3 hours on Friday, And I think the draft on Saturday begins at 9 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, 9 o'clock in the morning. So with that being said, I'll probably be on for 3 hours. 3 hours. We'll let you know on Saturday.
Saturday, we're going to have a special show. We're not going to be at our regular time. We're going to begin at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, which is 6 a.m. Central Time, in order to draft. So Jerry and I trip down the draft Saturday morning. On the master plan, we're going to finish up the rest of the draft. If it doesn't finish up Saturday, I believe it goes into Sunday. And we can do spot on if that's something you're comfortable with, JT.
Well, I'm not really comfortable with it yet. With Thursday and Friday, Saturday, it's your show, so I don't know what you want to do with that. So
we're gonna do it early. We're gonna do it early at 9 o'clock, so you can do it live.
Okay.
So we'll do it right here on Blog Talk Radio, as opposed to our regular 1 p.m. standard Eastern Standard Time airing.
Well, let me ask you something. You're going to be here on Saturday. Am I right about that?
Yes, but the following Saturday, I will not.
Well, I understand that, but how are we going to transition from on Saturday from 9 o'clock in the morning until whenever it's over with?
We're not going to do a 1 p.m. show on Blog Talk.
Okay. It's going to be... Okay. Oh, I understand. Okay. No problem.
All right. You had a Floyd Mayweather moment right there. It's okay.
No, I didn't have a Floyd Mayweather because I'm not. Well, we could talk later, but the comfort level of spot on.
I got you. We'll talk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to Brad Briggs' mock draft right now. What we're going to do is in the last 17 minutes of the show, we're going to discuss what Brad Briggs says and give our opinion. Also, before we get into it, I want to ask Jerry, does he think Shane Ray's draft stock is going to drop or has dropped, knowing that he now needs a foot surgery, especially on a speed edge rushing defender? Your thoughts real quick on Shane Ray.
Well, the last news I got, unless you got some updated news recently, is that he won't need surgery on that big toe that he has. But his stock has dropped because of there's a possibility a chronic problem with his big toe or foot, whatever the problem may be. So, yes, his stock draft has dropped because of that.
Okay. Now, according to Brad Briggs, he says the Buccaneers are going to take Jameis Winston. He says Lovie Smith has seemingly been all in on Winston for months, and he hit on a wide receiver for his quarterback last year with Mike Evans. I think we both can agree that, yes, Jameis Winston is going to be the number one overall pick unless something miraculous happens. And, well, let me finish. And you pair him with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. You got two young guns there, a quarterback who's young, a receiver who's young, and a veteran wide receiver. And, ladies and gentlemen, do not sleep or forget about the muscle hamster. Don't forget about
him. And then don't forget about their tight end either.
Yes, don't forget about the tight end either. This is going to be an explosive team if Jameis Winston can control where he throws the ball, meaning cuts back on all those interceptions. That's the one thing. If he cuts back on those interceptions, he might be a very good NFL quarterback. But in order to do that, he needs to have a strong running game, and I believe that it's going to be the muscle hamster that does that for him. Let's go on to number two, where Brad says the Titans are going to select Marcus Mariota. Now, he says here, if they believe Mariota will be a good NFL player, they can't pass on the chance. Quarterbacks are too hard to find, even if they have hope for Zach Mettenberger. Now, here's what I think. I think he's wrong here. I think that the Titans are going to trade out of it, and I really, really think it's going to be San Diego. I know there's some some wavering thought on that as of late. However, Philip Rivers loves that small town or that that small city lifestyle, which is Tennessee, you know, country, family. He homeschools all seven or eight of his children. He's not too thrilled with the situation in San Diego, whether they're moving, whether they're staying, or whatever the case may be. I think San Diego moves up to get this pick, and Mariota is picked at number two, but not by Tennessee. Your thoughts?
I'm wavering on this. I'm really wavering on this on whether Tennessee trades this pick or not. I have to say they take Mariota, but I don't know. They have plenty of needs, and I don't know if they feel that a quarterback is one of them. But in my opinion, they take Mariota. But what do I know?
Well, I say that a lot. What do you know? But sometimes you know a little bit of something. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'm not saying anything derogatory to you. Now. Say.
Right.
How many leagues have you finished below me? Quite a few.
Oh.
So.
Oh, come on.
You?
Don't even go there.
Knowledge is power, and you have no power.
Oh, see the backhand. No, not even the backhand. That was a full palm. All right, Jack Wise. Brad says that Dante Fowler goes to the Jaguars. Says the jury remains out on Blake Bortles, the third pick last year.
Slam dunk.
An impact player right away. After drafting offense with their first four picks a year ago, they go defense. I kind of agree here, but I'm not sure if it's Fowler. I don't know if it's Fowler. I think they need a strong defensive tackle. I think they go Leonard Williams here. I really think they go Leonard Williams. They may or may not.
I think they go with the pass rusher. They're in the same league with Andrew Luck. They need a pass rusher. They need Dante Fowler. I'm telling you, I think this if there was a draft pick that was a lock, this is it. I think with all the draft picks that all these teams have in the first round, I think this is the most solid and most slam dunk of them all. I'd be extremely surprised if the Jaguars do not take Dante Fowler.
Well, it's an opportunity for them to get bigger. I think you want to get bigger on the inside out. Dante Fowler, you know, he says he'll be surprised if he gets past number three, and he'll be upset if he gets past number three. The Jaguars do need a pass rusher. However, if you're going to run from the outside, I'm just run right up the middle, where you are a little soft. The Jaguars aren't that stout up the middle. So I think they probably need to go with Leonard Williams, who happens to be, in my opinion, the best player in the draft. But that falls to the Raiders, according to Brad Briggs. He says Leonard Williams is going to go to the Raiders. It will make a lot of sense to grab a wide receiver here for Derek Carr, but new coach Jack Del Rio can get an anchor for his defensive line. And that's where the sense comes in. Because I listened to Raleigh McKenzie earlier today on our news report, saying they're going to get the best player available, and, you know, if trades come in, whatever the case may be, but he's looking to build a strong team. For the longest, I've said that the word out here is that the Raiders want Adrian Peterson. They're willing to give up that pick. If that happens, Leonard Williams will not go to the Raiders. I believe that whoever moves up in the Raiders' spot then picks either Cooper or somebody else, and Williams slides to the Redskins. But that's my opinion. You say this is a slam dunk, right, Jerry? Williams going to the Raiders?
No, I don't say it's a slam dunk. I mean, the Raiders need quite a few things, quite a few positions, and wide receiver being one of them. I understand Leonard Williams is there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they took Leonard Williams to team him up with Khalil Mack. That'd be a heck of a combination to help anchor your defense. And Jack Del Rio being a defensive-minded coach, an ex-linebacker in the NFL, I'm still feeling a wide receiver in here, man. I'm still feeling that you need to take a wide receiver unless they turn around in the second or third round, especially the second round, and try to pull a wide receiver then. But I'm feeling a wide receiver here, and I'm feeling Amari Cooper. I'm really feeling that.
Okay. I think that White is the better receiver. But, again, that's my opinion. It's, you know, just like what everybody has, a butthole. Now, Briggs says that the Redskins then take Vic Beasley, which would not be a bad pick. You can't lose, in my opinion, with either Fowler, Williams, or Beasley. But, again, if Mariota is still there, the Jets, are they willing to jump up to the Raiders' position or jump one pick ahead of the Redskins or with the Redskins just to make sure that they get Mariota? Well, Briggs says, with Brian Arakpo having departed by free agency, there's an acute need for a pass rusher, and the speedy Beasley is a good fit. Here's the thing. I like Beasley, but I haven't seen Beasley drop in coverage. Arakpo's a good defender, but he got injured way too often. And I understand why they didn't try to re-sign him. They did franchise him to keep him. But they got a kid last year out of Stanford who can fill that need. That's why I think the Skins go D-tackle here. They sign Pot Roast to a one-year contract. They got another defensive tackle, I believe it's a Samoan guy. I can't remember his name right now. But I think the Redskins are going to draft a D-tackle if Williams is here. I really think so. Your thoughts? Because for a long time, it was Gregory, not Beasley, that was projected to go to the Skins. But Brad Briggs says that Vic Beasley will go to the Skins. Your thoughts?
Well, I had told you I thought like Amari Cooper going to the Raiders. Leonard Williams to the Redskins. Can't see. I mean, he doesn't get out of the top five. Leonard Williams. He doesn't get out of the top five, and I think this would be a great spot for Leonard Williams to go to the nation's capital. So that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, let's go on to the team you abandoned, Left for Dead, who resurrected.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. I left him for dead. Took off, kicked him to the curb. Any way you want to say it, yes, I'm no longer a Jet fan. Say it, and I say it with conviction. You're damn right. You're damn right.
But you're
and I think
jump
they
back
think,
on
I think. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. So Randy Gregory, according to Brad Briggs, is going to go to the Jets, which makes sense because Todd Bowles likes to go man-to-man coverage and blitz. Randy Gregory's a beast, but he has that marijuana problem. So he's going to enter the NFL in stage two of the NFL substance abuse program. But Briggs has off-field concerns involving Gregory are legitimate, but he's the most talented pass rusher in the draft, and new GM Mike McCannon comes from the Texans, who weren't adverse to taking gambles. Your thoughts?
For the Jets?
Yeah. Who do you think the Jets are going
to take? I don't know who the hell they're going to take. They're not going to take Randy Gregory, that's sure. There's no way. Absolutely no way. The guy's got issues. And in New York City, with all the issues that he's had, no way. No way.
Okay. Well, next on the list, and this is an interesting pick right here, especially if the Raiders don't make the selection of a wide receiver, the Chicago Bears, according to Chicago Tribune's Brad Briggs, Amari Cooper they're trying to team him up with Alshon Jeffries. In Carolina and Denver, John Fox got Julius Peppers and Von Miller with his first draft picks. But if the board doesn't fall right, the Bears can get a talented playmaker in Amari Cooper. Your thoughts on that?
Nope. They take somebody on the defensive side. They take somebody on the defensive side. They need to shore up their defense, especially in the middle. And one of the best nose tackles in the draft right now is a guy from Washington, University of Washington, Danny Shelton.
Shelton. That dude, you know, I think Shelton's going to be a beast. I really do. And I think you might be right. They need to shore up that defensive line. That's a good pick. Now, here's a shocker. And I think I don't think it's a good pick, in my opinion, if it does happen. But Brad Briggs says the Falcons will then select Bud Dupree, defensive end from Kentucky. They have a new defensive-minded coach in Dan Quinn and an acute need to add an edge rusher with a dynamic athlete in Dupree. I don't know about that one. I really don't. Your thoughts, JT?
Whoever they take, they need a pass rush. They got Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and possibly Jameis Winston in their division. They've been very weak for years on the defensive line and on definitely on the pass rush. So they're going to be addressing the defensive side of the ball, especially with a new coach that is a defensive-minded coach and likes a pass rush. And I forget his name, but the coach of the Falcons. He preaches a pass rush. That's one of his strong suits. So they're going to get a pass rush, whoever it may be. Could be Shane Ray, could be Bud Dupree, depending on who falls down to that pick. But they're going to get a pass rusher.
Okay, we got 90 seconds left in the show, so we might go into overtime just briefly, not too much. We're going to get through the first 15 or so picks. But thanks for listening to the show. Check out Jerry on the Master Plan tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Jerry is going to talk about. Jerry?
I'm doing my mock draft. My 3.0, my last mock draft before the live event that takes place on Thursday. So it's my mock draft 3.0. Tune in. I'm doing 1 to 32.
All right. So check that out tomorrow right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can always catch us streaming live, well streaming 24/7, 365 over on Spot On Radio. webs.com. Let's go to the Giants. The Giants are not going to get a sexy pick, according to Brad Briggs. He says they're going to get Brandon Sharif from Iowa, offensive lineman. And there is concern. They need an offensive lineman up there in New York, your neck of the woods, JT. Is that a good fit? Is he the best offensive lineman?
It's for Trey Mason, who's going to be running the football. They need some strong blockers on the front of that line, especially protecting Nick Foles in protection and providing a physical presence on the offensive line, because Jeff Fisher likes physical football, and his offensive line has to be physical. Brandon Sharif is a very good pick for the Rams.
No, not the Rams, the Giants.
Well, I'm sorry, for the Giants, I'm sorry. I moved ahead of myself. You know what? I think the Giants, and this is one of the needs of the Giants. The Giants need linebackers. And the three linebackers that are interchangeable, Vic Beasley, Bud Dupree, and Shane Ray, which is a defensive end / linebacker, in my opinion, that can go to the Giants. I think the Jets are going to grab one of those guys if they're still available. Sorry about
that. I was thinking about that kid out of TCU. that outside linebacker from TCU. He ran slow at the combine, but he makes plays. So I was just thinking about that kid, but we'll see. But the Rams, according to Brad Briggs, says they're going to get Kevin White out of West Virginia, which is good. They drafted Tavon Austin 8th out of the school 2 years ago. So the question is, and I thought Tavon Austin was going to break out here last year, will their quarterback, whether it's, you know, Mariota, because the Rams did bring the CEO to his workout, whether it's what's the old boy name that left Philadelphia, Nick Foles, or whoever, can they get them the ball? That's the question. So you can get Kevin White, you can get Tavon, you can get all these other receivers, but if you don't have anybody giving them the ball, you know, it's a problem in my opinion. What are your thoughts about Kevin White going to the Rams?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at that, but I think the pick is a lineman. But I wouldn't be surprised. They do need a, they do need a number one wide receiver. And if you think about this, Stedman Bailey, your favorite wide receiver from there, Tavon Austin, and Kevin White all come from the same school. So I don't know if they want three West Virginia wide receivers on the Rams, but that's what would happen if he went to the Rams.
I'm going to do this real quick because I want to get to number 16, your Texans, and Brad Briggs has an interesting pick from the Texans right here. I want to get your thoughts. But the Vikings are supposed to get Trey Waynes, cornerback out of Michigan State. The Browns would make out like bandits if they got Danny Shelton, nose tackle out of Washington, because that would be a great fit for him. The Saints are supposed to get Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Louisville. The Dolphins, Rashard Perriman, wide receiver, Central Florida. 49ers, Eric Armstead, defensive end, Oregon. Your thoughts on those before I go to the Texans?
I think the Dolphins go defense on the backside. I also think the Saints go on the offensive side of the ball, offensive lineman. And I think the Browns go for a number one wide receiver. That's what I think about them, and also I think the Vikings either can go for a cornerback or a wide receiver, another wide receiver to grow with Teddy Bridgewater. So it's a toss up there.
Yeah, he's saying that they're going to get Trey Waynes out of Michigan State, cornerback, the Vikings. That is. What do you think about the Eric Armstead pick for 49ers defensive end, Oregon?
So they need that. They need the replacement for Justin Smith, and this guy would be the exact not Justin Smith, but he could team up with team up with Alden Smith to be a formidable defensive part of the 49ers. They need defensive parts. They need to shore up their defense, and Armstead would be a good part for them.
Finally, and we're going to end the show on this one. I think this is a very interesting pick. It makes sense to me, but I don't know if it's going to happen. And I want to get Jerry's reaction. Brad Briggs, writer for the Chicago Tribune, says the Texans will select at number 16 running back from Georgia, Todd Gurley. He says if a team feels confident about his knee issues, Gurley could wind up in the top 10. Otherwise, he could be there. He could be the heir apparent to Aaron Foster in Houston. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. I got three players that I would like to go to the Texans. Todd Gurley is one of them. Nelson Aguilar, the wide receiver from the University of Southern Cal, is another one. Or Dorial Green-Beckham, who can potentially be the next Calvin Johnson. He's got all the measurables to do that and the skill level. I like any one of those three guys to hit the Texans team, and I'd be happy. Let me put it that way. So I wouldn't be surprised they'd grab the running back. If they took Todd Gurley, because I think that would be a really good fit. But I'm looking for more than likely a wide receiver, and one of the two I just named.
All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up Mr. Briggs' mock draft, and I'm going to go through all 32 because we don't have the time. And JT wanted to give me a live proposal, a live fantasy trade proposal. We might not discuss the particulars over the air right now, but I want you guys to hear what he's offering me. JT, the floor is yours.
Okay. Pose is this. From you, I'm looking for Billy Butler, and I'm willing to give up Sonny Gray and Shelby Miller.
You piqued my curiosity with Sonny Gray. And who?
Shelby Miller, pitcher for the Atlanta Braves.
You know, I kind of like my pitching staff. I kind of need Billy Butler because my only other first baseman is Mark Teixeira. And I'm not too happy with Mark. Mark is okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. Yeah, because I'm looking at Edwin Encarnacion on your team, who I really like. Yasuo just got hurt. I wouldn't mind getting Carlos Gomez of the Colorado Rockies.
That's not happening. That's not happening.
Well, I'll take Carlos Gomez back of Milwaukee. I'd even take Hanley Ramirez.
You know that's not going to happen. Well, let me put it this way. If you want Carlos Gomez, then I'll give you Shelby Miller.
Which one?
Excuse me?
Which Carlos Gomez?
I give you.
Oh, sorry, Gomez, not Gonzalez. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Carlos Gomez, and I'll give you Shelby Miller for Billy Butler.
No, Shelby Miller's pitching today, so I won't get anything from him for a couple of days. Gomez.
He's not pitching until next week either.
He's not pitching until when?
He's not pitching until Tuesday.
I'll look and see. Tuesday's a lot better than next week sometime because Tuesday I'll at least have him on my team. But Sonny pitches Tuesday. We'll discuss it at some other point. Right now we got to get off the air. But he's been getting hit a little bit this year. Good ERA, though. We'll see. I'd rather have Carlos Gonzalez, honestly.
Well, that's really not happening. That's really not happening. You know that.
I really need a first baseman. So, Kendrys Morales and Edwin Encarnacion, along with one of those two, along with one of your big bats, would help.
You're drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. Carson and Kendrick Morales, there is no way that you're getting either one of them for Billy Butler. Give me a break.
Well, we got to end the show, and I'm sorry. I hate to break your heart like that, but you know.
It didn't break my heart. But I'm on top of you right now. It looks like I'm going to stay there. It looks like you're going down. Even though I may go down this weekend, looks like you're going down also, and you're still going to be below
me. I'm not
going
down. Hey, guy, I'm winning 13-6 now. Oh, you didn't check, huh? You didn't check it, did you? Check the record, buddy.
Check the standings. you and I are both 2-0, but A-Roy's lawyer happens to be on top in the West. That's all I got to say.
For now.
It's going to be like that the rest of the season. And then you're going to start calling me names because the fact is you can't take the fact that I'm getting the better of you again.
Whatever. Mr. FSP to you is going to win this. Just remember that, old
okay.
timer. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we gotta get ready to get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Taylor's going to send me some trade offer. We're going to banter back and forth. Of course, I'm going to always end up with the better end of the deal because that's what I do, like Mark Henry says. But with that being said, JT, you got anything you want to say to the people before we leave?
Yes. It seems like you always get the better end of the deals, but it seems like in the end I'm always above in the standings than you. So who gets the better end of the deal in the final analysis is me. With that being said, it's been a pleasure. As always, tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, moi, is going to be the host of the Master Plan. 1 to 30 to my mock draft 3.0 before the NFL draft takes place on April 30th.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, it's time to get out of here because Jerry has to go take his Geritol, and I am going to end up beating him this year in fantasy baseball. Mark my words. He's going down, I'm going up. But with that being said, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.